70 years ago, WQED became America's first community-supported public television station. Since then, we've expanded our service to the community through classical music, educational activities, podcasts, and community events. We'll continue to serve the needs of our neighbors, but we need your help. Invest in WQED in any amount today in honor of Public Media Giving Days. Then spread the word. Text, post, or call your neighbors and friends and encourage them to make a donation too. Each contribution will be matched dollar for dollar up to $15,000 thanks to a generous match from the WQED Board of Directors. Do your part now.
I'm your host, Kimara Dorsey, and on today's episode of WQED's Voice of the Arts, you'll meet local Pittsburgh-born and raised pianist and composer Aicha Akin, who writes neoclassical music that blends genres of classical, contemporary classical, and electronic music genres. When it comes to classical music, everything is not what it seems. Let us begin to change our vision so that we can create new and vibrant art each and every day.
I'm so excited that you are here. When I got your email, I was like, this must be done, because I've never heard of neoclassical music. So for me, I was like, this is interesting. I got to do this immediately. So you describe yourself as like a neoclassical musician. So what does that mean?
Yes, I have said that my music is influenced by neoclassical music, as well as minimalist composers and electronic music. So it's sort of a mix. I don't know if I fit into any specific genre, but neoclassical music is known for it's a post-classical movement, historical movement in art, but manifested in music through sort of removal of maybe emotion, more simplistic patterns, a little more mathematical, perhaps a little less lyrical. So there's these elements there. I use a lot of repetition and looping and note patterns in that way.
I've been playing piano since age of 5. And for me, it's always been like a very personal relationship. And so that form of music feels very, like I was saying, sort of just like meditative. I also blend a lot of electronic music genres into my music as well. So I sort of think of myself as an abstract composer. I've seen that term floated around. I've seen terms of like almost classical, classical adjacent.
Cool, awesome. And I heard you mention it a little bit that you started playing piano at 5 years old. So I was curious to know, when did you get your start in music? So you said you started playing piano at 5 years old, but you know, kind of what has that evolution been like since 5 years old to now?
Yeah, it's been a journey. I think that the piano has been sort of my, outside of like the people I was born living with, it's been the thing that's been with me the longest in my life. So I've had a lot of sort of phases and relationships with it. I don't know why I asked to play the piano, asked my parents at 5. We didn't have any musicians in the family. Certainly my dad was a big fan of all types of music. So we had it played, but there was nobody, I didn't have an example of anybody like doing that. But I was told that I was very enthusiastic and adamant that I wanted to start. So I was lucky enough to go to the CMU School of Music's preparatory school. They have like this preparatory school that's like teaches you, you know, piano fundamentals, but like your rhythmics, music theory, and these things. And I started out pretty young doing that. And then went to spent like about 10 years studying with Ralph Zitterbart, who is a local, he passed away in 2017, but he was an amazing professor of music at CMU, a teacher, piano, concert pianist, amazing man. And I got to spend like 10 years of my childhood like learning from him and playing. And then as I sort of went off to college, and my interest shifted, I sort of like found the piano in the dorm room, dorm hall or whatever, and was the one that was there playing, but I was sort of disconnected a bit during those years from it, just because I didn't have like a steady home with a piano in it. I wanted to mention that the piano I played on at home was something that was dropped off at my parents' driveway as like a piece of trash that someone was trying to get rid of, because a lot of people try and get rid of pianos. If anyone wants a piano, there's like a million of them on Craigslist because there's a lot that are old and it's so expensive to refurbish them that like it's almost not worth it. But we got one of those upright pianos, and it was not pretty sounding. It was not the best piano. It was out of tune. There were some keys that didn't work, but that was sort of what I had to work with. Nonetheless, it did not deter me. And when I had enough saved up, I got like an electric piano that I could carry around with me in my sort of 20s and be able to sort of like city to city. I moved around a lot. And that's when I stopped sort of taking formal lessons and stopped sort of doing concerts through the CMU community of music, I just started improvising and playing on my own. And I always had that in me, sort of like this desire to this music that was there. So I just sit and play. I know there's a lot of people, a lot of musicians who can do that. There are some that don't. There's pianists that, you know, just sort of play what other people write. And I enjoy doing that, but I also just have this really strong draw to get out what was inside of myself. And so I did that for many years. And then when I moved back to Pittsburgh, I was like in New York City for a long time. And when my husband and I moved back here, we finally had like this big home in this space where I could maybe get a piano, like a real one, like, and one that wasn't maybe out of tune. Like it was this huge moment for me. Felt like almost like a child when I found it. It's this old, like 80-year-old Kanabe baby grand that was refurbished locally by an amazing piano technician named Brian Bailey, who worked with the PSO for many years. But he was sort of, I have friends in the symphony, neighbors, I should say, and they connected me with Brian, and I found this piano, again, one that didn't have a home, but he and I found each other. So this piano is like, if you look on my Instagram, you'll see lots of pictures of it. You'll see the details. It's like such a work of art. It's so beautiful. And my baby girl, when we brought it in, was actually jealous when she saw me playing it, 'cause she was like, wait, I can feel like the love that you have for this instrument. So I had this space, and like that enabled me to have this piano, this space to develop a bit of a music studio at home, and like finally feel like, all right, I'm not moving around with this little electric piano. I can actually sit and write and compose. And maybe, you know, with all the tools we have today as independent musicians, you know, write, record, produce, and release all by myself.
Yeah.
So that is incredible. That was not something in my consciousness as a kid. I just think for young folks coming up, like playing music, it's such an amazing sort of world to be in. I encourage my son is like a SoundCloud account. He's 9 and he like puts stuff. I mean, it's pretty incredible. Like the head start he has.
So that's
sort of my piano journey. And so I have this a little bit of like a ability to record at home, and like got the equipment, figured out software, and just COVID sort of gave me the time and space to really just dig into that, because I was home a lot and I had a lot of emotion, as we all did. And it was like the perfect fertile ground to sit down and finally for real, not just sit and improvise and play, but actually compose and write and commit to some notes. So it's been a really fun, so it's kind of recent for me. The actual like formal composition and producing part of things. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm curious about that. So what does that look like? I'm not a composer. I love music. I listen all the time. But as far as composition, I have no idea about that. So like, what does it look like to sit down and create an original song?
Yeah, I bet it's different for everyone. For me, it always starts at the piano. So even if a lot of my songs might have piano layers to them, I like to layer and I like to add a lot of effects to them to give it sort of an otherworldly quality. But it always starts, if I'm ever developing a tune, it has to be my connection with my physical like wood and ivory key like piano. for some reason I cannot emote or like write on like an electric piano or like something, my more MIDI keyboard or something like that in my studio, my synth, like any kind of synth instrument. So I start there and I typically will just sort of tinker around. I'll pick a key to play in and work in, and I will just sort of like work on different patterns and different themes. And I can pretty quickly come up with something that like feels right to me. I always wondered if it's just me or if everyone has this, but there's this almost like barometer of like, oh yeah, that music hits. Like if you, even if you're a listener or a writer, whatever it is, there's this like threshold or this level of something that like it clicks, right? And you're like, I feel that, whether it's sadness or wanting to move or joy or whatever it is, but you really feel it. And so like, if I can get into that zone with something I'm playing, I will then take it to, I'll either record it on the piano and I'll put it into my software, and then I'll like basically be my own band, because I'll be like, okay, now I'm going to do another layer, like a different instrument. What would sound good with that? And I almost feel, I've never been in a band, but I feel like it would be similar where someone's got like this idea and then someone else that plays a different instrument will be like, oh yeah, because I'll use like synth strings, or I do a lot of like record like drum beats and things like that that I put in. So it just builds from there, and many layers, and then once I kind of feel like it's complete, I will like work on the details, like a lot of the effects that I talk about, and that's like a typical song. I will say that I have one song on my latest, on my first album that I put out, Fallen Fruit, the last song, Back Again. I wrote it in, I just did a string line that I was feeling, and then I just played piano on top of it, and then that, I was done. Like, it was the fastest, and I love that song, but it was the quickest thing I ever wrote. Sometimes it just happens. It has to be also just an emotional state and some space like that I can have to go there, to write anything at all.
Cool. So you mentioned Fallen Fruit, and I wanted to ask you about that. Like, can you tell me about that latest project? What, you know, what kind of led you to create that project?
Yeah, so I want to just like go back to some of my inspiration. I have this, there's one modern composer named Niels Fromm. He's a German composer. He similar, like kind of just played piano as a kid and then has became like a sort of pretty prolific force in neoclassical music. He and others sort of like him have shown me that like you can grow up sort of playing the greats, but you can also have music of your own that's classically influenced, and that's okay. There's a whole like, there's just like so many artists like that right now blowing up. And it's amazing to see all this like contemporary classical music come out that have more of like a digital influence because we have those tools. But I was feeling like this empowerment through just seeing artists like that. And I was writing and composing, and I was just doing it for myself. It was during COVID. I had just lost two very close family members. I had a lot of just sort of, and COVID was happening. I had a lot of like things to say musically. And it's also just a way, since I've been doing it since I was five, just a way that I emote. Like it's I'm able to express myself like musically better than I am verbally. So it's something that I just do for sort of myself. But I had happened to be lucky enough to have some people in my life at that time that were listening to what I was making. And they were like, you need to like put this out there. You know, people would benefit from it. So I was like, really? Okay. I guess I'll do that. So I took it a little more seriously that I would make a collection, an album which ended up being called Fallen Fruit, and that I would release it. The album is a story about, life and death, and it's about like what it feels like to live with someone you love and what it feels like to live with someone you've lost, and so it's a bit of a story from beginning to end. And I ended up doing a sort of like a private album release for it, which was like also a really interesting experience to design, because when you listen to the album, it's fairly meditative, and it's designed to sort of take the listener on their own journey. So whatever's going on inside of you, the music is designed to sort of bring that up. So I think sometimes music tells its own story. In my case, I wanted to tell a story of what's latent inside of you. Yeah. And so this performance sort of slash listening event that we did was really, it was cool. We picked like a yoga studio in Garfield, a beautiful space called 1.1 Yoga. If anyone wants to try a cool yoga studio, I recommend it. But we sort of had, and it was like just coming out of COVID and people were just, I don't know, socializing again. It was like, what does it mean to come together and be in a space? And it was just comfort and like bolsters and blankets. And we had, I designed sort of some visuals that were very passive and that you're able to like take the music in and take the visuals in and just have it be your own personal experience. And that's really all I want, is for if one person can listen to my music and it helps them sort of move through some emotion or have some new thoughts, like that's a win for me. So
I'm curious to know, do you ever get, like during your project Falling Fruit, did you ever get, I don't know if there's such a thing as composer's block. I know there's writer's block, but was there ever a time where you were like, oh, like kind of hit a wall, like, does this work or am I feeling this? Like you said, like, does this hit? So.
Oh my God. Yeah. The amount of self-doubt that just sort of went into everything I made is just epic. I don't know if this is normal for, you know, it's like my first time really putting myself into this. So I'm like, is this normal? But yeah, I would say there were moments where I felt blocked, but most of the time it was more like little micro sort of like, I'm working on this. Is this good? Is this okay? I don't collaborate. So it's like, it's you and then maybe some trusted people that might give you feedback around you. But really it's like, you have to trust yourself and believe that what you're making is something people will want to listen to. And that's a big, for me, that was a big challenge, because I knew I loved it, but what does that mean? You know, how do you know that it's good enough? And so I tried to just sort of push that aside, because ultimately what I am doing is not optional. Like I have this in me and I have to do it. So I'm just going to keep doing it. The blocking part, I think oftentimes like walking away from a song. So I might feel stuck and then I might just like walk away from it for a week or two. Oftentimes I find like getting out, taking a hike, or like the giving myself quiet time is sometimes the time where I get the best ideas. And so just stepping away and not pushing on something tends to help me. And then, like I said, it's like time of year too is really interesting. Like this time of year is where my creative like just desire really peaks in fall, when things are kind of changing and turning into winter. And so I tend to like wait to see when my body is feeling it, where my mind is wanting to go there. And so I am diving into some new projects this fall.
Cool. So you found your lane as a neoclassical musician. And I know that there are people who are going to be listening to this who may have been classically trained, but kind of like you, they're not really looking to be a concert pianist, or they're not looking to be in the symphony setting. So from your experience, you know, you've done projects, you went to CMU. So it's just like, from your experience, what options would you say that people who are kind of like you, like what options do they have?
Yeah, I believe so strongly that there's a lot of people out there that aren't maybe taking those traditional paths in classical music that still are talented or still have music in them. And I say that if you have music in you, you have to let it out. You have to share it. And there's more ways now that you can do that. You don't, you know, there's so many ways to do that. And so I would just really encourage anybody who has that feeling, because I know there's a lot of people out there listening that are like, yeah, when I go see a live show or I see music and I'm like, wow, you know, it connects on a level that feels really personal, that like I wish I could be part of this, or I want this too. I was like that person for a long time. And I just, it'll open up just doors for yourself. And it's really cool to put yourself out there and show yourself what you can do, even if it's just for yourself. It doesn't have to be for an audience, but it could be easily. Yeah.
So kind of like, I guess we're doubling back, but I wanted to know, like, about the, when was the moment where you were like, I'm not going to be a traditional concert pianist, or I'm not going to be in a symphony setting? Like, when was the moment where it clicked, where you like, I love music, I love the piano, but the symphony, it's not for me?
Yeah, I mean, I think I knew that pretty early on, just because of the like rigor required. So I was not the person that wanted to practice for 4 or 5 hours a day. And I didn't have parents that were like pushing me to do so. They let me sort of lead. So I was always sort of told by everyone around me, like the teachers and the influencers around me, that like, yeah, maybe technically I wasn't the best, but like, wow, you are musical. So like, you feel it and you understand sort of the, you can play in a way that emotionally interprets the music. And so I think that's probably why I ended up taking a more personal route, but it was not going to be, given my interests at the time, that I would have had to make that choice, like middle school, high school. It was not, you know, top of mind for me. Mm-hmm. And it really just like music's role for me has always been pleasure rather than like means for a living. So, yeah.
So you kind of mentioned you're a mom, and I have also worked, I'm not a mom, but I've worked with a lot of children in school settings and out of school settings. And I find it really wild to me. I feel like we're in a crisis. I'm calling it a crisis, but a lot of schools are cutting arts programs, obviously to make more room for things like math, science, English, and, you know, rightfully so, because the pandemic kind of cut right into what the students were doing. And so I want to know, from your opinion as like an artist and also as a mom, like, what do you think the effect of this will be in years to come?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And it's so like frustrating to see, because we know that even if you don't end up continuing to play music, we know a lot through science what impact learning music has on young brains and development, the way that you, it's basically like learning another language and it's using a different part of your brain. And so it can really have great impacts for whatever you do in life. The reason why I can do what I'm doing today is because I had that early investment. It's very hard to pick it up later. And it takes, you know, if you take it out of schools, it's going to basically, people with more resources are going to be able to do it, but it just takes it away from, yeah, opportunity from a lot of other people. I don't know. I hope that we're able to make arguments to keep that. I think the impacts long-term, again, will be probably maybe less musicians, but just also less appreciators of music in general. Probably like it disconnects. It just creates like sort of a less opportunity for artists to live and flourish, because I'm not, it's not the only thing that I do, but it's a big, you know, big part of my life. And I think that a lot of people can sort of like bifurcate themselves and be, you know, whatever they want to be in life, but also have music and arts. I think from a mental health perspective, it's like, for me, has been the most important tool for getting through tough things. It's very meditative to play music. It's the one thing you really have to focus on what you're doing. So it truly does like focus your brain on the task, you know, in my case, piano, and it shuts everything else out. And so, it's actually a tool that, and I have a big meditation practice as well, but it's just as an effective tool to me as meditation. And music is the biggest gift. I thank my parents all the time. Thank you for paying for those lessons. Thank you for doing that for me. You didn't have to, you didn't really necessarily want to, you didn't have a piano, but you made it work, and it's the biggest gift.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's crazy. I feel like it was meant to be. You know, somebody was like, plop, here's this piano. We don't want it. And you're like, oh my my goodness. Like,
my prayers have been answered.
Yeah, right? Like, it's so beautiful to see. It's just like, and kind of like what you're saying, where you're like, I have this music in me. I have to get it out. And you know, like, a way is made. You're like, boom, a piano is right there for me. So I think, yeah, what you're saying is true for people who do any kind of art. Like, if it's in you, you got to get it out, because, you know, it's like, you know, what will come of your life if you don't, you know, you don't really want to think about that. Like, where could I be if I would have let my music out? Or where would I be if I would have let my art out, or, you know, whatever it is. And so I think it's really beautiful that you're just like, it's in me and it has to come out. It can't stay in. And I think that's a really beautiful perspective to have, especially when it comes to art, not to worry about, well, people like it, or, you know, like, what will they say? But to say, like, it's in me and I want to share it. And even if I'm the only one listening to it, and I'm the only one, you know, dancing to it in my car, or vibing with it in my car, or meditating to it, I think that's just really beautiful. So I just wanted to know, is there anything else that you want to share with me or the listeners today?
Well, I just want to reiterate, I love what you said, you know, about just who cares, let it out, because I made this decision at age 40 to do it, right? So it's never too late. And I just want to say that to maybe inspire other people that might be listening and feeling like, oh, well, my time, you know, my time has passed. It's never too late. And I want to say thank you to you for this podcast and highlighting all the local artists, because there's so much amazing stuff going on. You can find me on Spotify. I have some tracks up there. I record and produce under the artist name Ada. It's spelled A-H-D-A. So you can find my music there, and reach out to me on Instagram under, just search for the same artist name. You should find me. It's AHDA_music. And yeah, thanks. I'm also sort of pursuing opportunities to collaborate with visual artists with my music, particularly film right now, but just like any kind of visual art, I feel like has been a really good complement to the stuff I've done, dance and other visual arts. So I'm sort of looking for opportunities around that space too.
Yeah, your pieces are very beautiful. I listened on Spotify and I was like, in my head, I was like, there's literally like a movie happening in my mind. I was like, it's so beautiful. So I really love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really love it.
Thank you.
So I'm so glad that you were able to have this conversation with me about the arts, about neoclassical music, and just, yeah, like the diversity that classical music can be if we let it. So I'm so glad that you were able.